All right, thank you. So I don't need to walk off.
Don't walk off.
Don't walk off.
If you walk off, pick it up.
You got me tied. All right, I'm not a big walker anyway. All right, we do thank the Lord for the church here and for the invitation to come. We thank the Lord for each thing that has been done for us. We thank the Lord for the hotel room that was provided for us. Very nice. We enjoyed that and the food that we've received. We enjoy that. Thank the Lord for you ladies and men that provided the food and the coffee. And we appreciate that. And we try not to be too long-winded today. The my daughter looked at me yesterday when Brother Cummins got up and said something about 35 minutes. She looked at me and said, "Ain't no way you'll do that." And but I told her, I said, "That's 35 minutes in preacher time, not regular time." And my son said, "Oh boy." So they have figured out that there's a difference between regular time and preacher time. But now we thank the Lord for this. I would invite your attention to the book of Exodus in chapter 5. Book of Exodus chapter 5, we want to look at verses 1 through 9 with the thought of being, we really actually struggle with the title. We don't title our messages too much, but we thought about the title of being either too distracted or too busy. And so if you need a title, just pick one of those. But we try to preach as the Lord lays it on our heart, and we try to preach what the Lord would have us to preach, and we often think this, and we'll relay this message to you. If anything is said that is a blessing to you, thank the Lord. If there's anything that's said that's wrong, you thank me. And so that's how we feel about that. Brother Minnie said yesterday it was an encouragement and a discouragement. But he said that he always got nervous when he stood up before people. That's kind of how I am. And I thought by the time a person preached as long as he would, that would go away. But evidently it doesn't. So that's why it was an encouragement and discouragement. Encouragement because we have the same thought, and the discouragement because it never goes away. But anyway, we thank the Lord for the ability that the Lord has given us, and anything we've learned and any wisdom that we have attained is of the Lord. But, excuse me, chapter 5, verse 1, "And afterwards Moses went, and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.' And they said, 'The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice in the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword.' And the king of Egypt said unto them, 'Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their work get you unto your burdens?' And Pharaoh said, 'Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens.' And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, 'Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle.' Therefore they cry, saying, 'Let us go sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words.'" Let's go, Lord, a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for this time, this opportunity, this privilege, Father, that you have given to us to assemble together, to open your word, to look into it, Father, also to sing songs unto your name and to pray unto you, Father. What a great privilege that is. We pray that you would be with us here this morning, that you would help me to relay the message this morning in a great way that would be a help to people, that would help them in some way, that might be a help to those that are here this morning, those that are lost, that you might take it, something of your word, and prick their hearts with it, that they may see their great need of salvation. Father, we just pray that you would be with us and forgive us for our many sins. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we see that the Pharaoh did not know the Lord. Self-proclaimed, wasn't it? He says, I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. He didn't know what he's talking about, did he? He was going to let the people go. He was not only going to let the people go, he was going to gladly let them go. He was going to usher them out with a mighty hand. He was going to ask them to leave, beg them to leave, plead them to leave, and even pay them to leave. And they did. They spoiled the Egyptians before they went out with all their silver, from their silver and their gold and all this. But leading up to this, we see that Pharaoh said to the people, he said, these people are thinking too much about God. And is it that what you see here this day? As he said in verse 9, let them not regard vain words. We find that I believe Pharaoh was saying this, as we find oftentimes in the world, whether it be of others or whether it even be of our own selves, that we have regarded vain words, and that the people think, and the world thinks, I believe, oftentimes, and maybe we even in ourselves, if we're not careful, get to thinking that the things of the Lord are vain. But they're not. They're not vain. They're the words of the Lord. And we see that Moses and Aaron went unto Pharaoh and didn't say what Moses and Aaron wanted to say. You know what they said? They said, the Lord hath said. The Lord hath said. Many times through these plagues that God put upon Egypt and then removed from Egypt, whenever Moses and Aaron would go there, they would say, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Let my people go. And this ain't part of the message, but I thought about this as I was studying through here back a while back, that the devil, and I believe Pharaoh, to me, and I may be wrong, but I believe Pharaoh is pictured here as the devil. I believe he is in that regard. But nonetheless, the devil often wants to hold on to God's people, don't he? In times he said, no, I will not let them go. At times he said, let part of them go, but you can't all go, and so forth and so on. But whenever God has a people, the devil cannot hold on to them. He will eventually let them go, because God is all powerful, even over the devil, very much so. But nonetheless, we see that whenever they regarded the words of the Lord, whenever they regarded what the things the Lord had said, Pharaoh got angry with them and said, why do you cause the people to rest from their works? In other words, he said, I don't want them to do the works of God. I don't want them to go and to serve God. I don't want them to go and to sacrifice to God. I do not want them to go and have a feast unto God. I want them to do the works that I have put before them. I want them to do the works of men's hands. I want them to make me bricks and me cities and me this and me that. That's what the devil's all about, isn't it? He wants us always to keep away from the works of God. He wants to keep away from the sacrifice of God. You say, we don't sacrifice anymore. We do. We just don't sacrifice animals anymore. We sacrifice of our time, talents, and ability unto the Lord. We offer the sacrifice of praise to God. We offer many sacrifices if we're going to serve the Lord. And we see that that's what the devil never wants us to do. He never wants us to worship God. He never wants us to serve God. But what is his plan? His plan, as we see here with Pharaoh, I believe is still his plan today, and that is to make people so busy and to distract people so much that they cannot think about anything regarding the Lord. And that's what he said. He says, you took to them straw. And he says, you don't take them straw no more. In other words, make their job harder. And so what happened in verse 12, it said the people were scattered. Why were they scattered? Because they were going trying to find the stubble. They were going trying to find the hay. They were trying to make the same amount of bricks that they had before. And if they hadn't, the Bible says that they were being beaten if they had not did the same thing. And so they got what? They got busy. They got distracted. And I believe that's us today a lot of ways. The world offers a lot of distractions, doesn't it? The world offers a lot of things today. And you know, I believe the devil knows what James relayed to us in James chapter 1. But a man is tempted. How and when? The Bible says that, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Of his own lust and enticed. You know what the devil knows? The devil, I don't mean to give no credence to the devil or anything like that, but he's smart and he knows how to tempt. God is not tempting us with lust. God is not tempting us with evil. God may be trying us. He may be testing us. But the Bible says God tempts no man with evil. But the devil dangles it out in front of us. And because of our depravity, because of our sin nature, we find that we, if we don't be careful, we are drawn away of our very own lust. Amen? And what it is that might draw me away may not draw you away. What it is that catches my eye may not catch your eye, but the devil knows what it is that catches our eyes. We find that in the days of Adam and Eve, before sin, when the serpent came and he was more subtle than any beast of the field, he worked the same way then as he did in Exodus and as he does today, doesn't he? What did he do? He asked her, he talked to her, he says, "Yay, can't you not eat of all the trees? You should be able to eat of all the trees. You are to be able to do that." And she said, "Oh, God said that in the day that we eat of it, we will die." And he says, "You will not die." He lied, didn't he? Pharaoh said, "I'll not let my people go." He's a liar. The devil is what? The father of lies. He will lie to them. And he says, "You will not die." And he says, "Listen," he says, "in the day that you eat of it, God doth know that you should be as gods." In other words, He made it enticing to them, didn't he? He put something there that dangled it in front of them, that made them want to look at it. And the Bible says there, when she, the woman, saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. In other words, he dangled it in front of their eyes, didn't he? He dangled it there. He enticed them. He put it in front of their eyes. And listen, as we go through life today, we find stuff that is dangled in front of our eyes. And although houses and cars and recreation and all the stuff that we see today that is offered may not be evil in themselves, it is dangled in front of our eyes and says, "You need this. You need this." And let me ask you, how many sports is played on Sunday morning? Wouldn't you say the majority of them, especially when you talk about pro sports and stuff like that? A lot of them are. When you talk about NASCAR, they don't ever, hardly ever run on through the week, do they? It's always Sunday, isn't it? Listen, that is a dangling of the devil. Listen, you need to stay home and watch the game. You need to stay home and watch the race. You need to go to work on Sunday so that you can afford this or afford that. And the devil keeps using this word before us. You need. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, what we need and what we really need is two different things, isn't it? The devil says, the devil shows us what we want, but God provides our needs, our necessities. The devil says, "You want that," but he doesn't say you just want it. He says, "You need that." I'll give you an example. Every time I drive by the Chevrolet dealership and I see the four-door truck, the Z71s and the four-wheel drives, I think, man, I would really like to have one of those. Amen. But you know what? That truck costs more than I make in a whole year. And if I went and bought that truck, you know how much my payments would be every month on that? Probably $600-$800 a month. I can't afford that. You know what I'd have to do? I'd have to work more. I'd have to be busier. And so I'll just stick with my 96 Saturn that's paid for. Because it gets me to and fro. And it gets good gas mileage. And thank the Lord for that. And so maybe, I don't know, I hope I'm making sense today. But the children of Israel was under bondage. And I believe, although we are not under bondage like they are, and we do not see that bondage like that, there's still another kind of bondage, isn't it?
That's right.
The Bible says a borrower is servant to the lender.
Right.
A borrower is servant to the lender. So what is that? That's servitude, isn't it? Do you owe the bank any money? Listen, in some regards, you're a servant to that bank, aren't you?
Right.
You say, no, I'm not. Well, you quit paying that payment, see what happens. If you default on a car loan, what do? They come take the car, don't they? If you want to keep that car, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to keep paying them. You're going to have to keep doing it. You're going to do what they say, when they say, and if you don't do that, you default. In other words, they come get what you have. It don't matter to them. They don't care about you. They don't care if you don't have a place to stay. They don't care if you don't have a place to a car to drive. They don't care if you have food on the table. They don't care about your children. They don't care about your church. And they don't care about your God. All they care about is their self and how that you can. Now we demonize them in that regard. But listen, it isn't the bank's fault because we signed the note. We don't read the fine print. We don't realize that a $40,000, $50,000 car has 7, 8, 9, 10% interest on it, and it's going to take us forever to get it paid for. And we don't read the fine print. Read the fine print. You know why? That the NIV has the omitted verses sometimes in the bottom of the Bible in small print because people don't read the small print. Think about that. They don't read the small print. The people don't go in Acts chapter 8 and verse 36 and in verse 38 and say, I wonder where verse 37 is. They don't go down there and read and say, well, most manuscripts have this text in. They don't read that. All they read is the eunuch wanting to be baptized and the eunuch being baptized, and they completely skip the confession of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you know what? That one verse has allowed me to help many people to get rid of their NIV. I don't know very many of the verses that are omitted, but I know that one, and I'll say, read to me Acts 8:37. And they do this, and they're they look at me. I said, it's not there, is it? They said, no. I said, it's because it's omitted. I said, you need to go get a King James Bible and use it. You know what? Most of them say, I got a King James at home. I said, well, you need to go get it and use it. And that's what they start using. What a blessing that is. And how simple that is. And I'm getting sidetracked this morning. But I want you to see this morning that the devil whispers in our ears, you need. What is he wanting to do? What does he want us to do? He wants us to get too busy.
Amen.
He wants us to get too distracted. Do we need to work? Well, the Bible says we need to work, don't it? But we don't need to replace God with our work. You know, I just seen on TV, this is kind of discerning. I believe it was yesterday, that the post office is now offering Sunday delivery. What, have you seen that? I just seen that. I don't know to what extent that is, but they said the United States Post Service is now offering Sunday delivery. So now they don't even get off Sunday. And that's going to be, I would hate to have that job anyway, but much less for 6 days a week, but 7 days a week. Talk about going postal. But there's not even a break. And so, but anyway, I guess I'm getting sidetracked. But what does the devil want us to do? He wants us to get busy. He wants us to quit serving the Lord. He wants to keep us in bondage. He wants us to be so distracted that we can never think about the Lord. I believe he's done a pretty good job. What do y'all think? What do you think? Talk to someone of any age and ask them, I hope y'all don't get upset with me by saying of any age, but listen, you're a testimony if you're of any age. In the 1950s, tell me what it was like Sunday. Tell me what it was like on Sunday. Tell me, could you go to any store and it be open? No. But let me ask this, could you go to churches and see them full? Yes. Go to churches today that believe the truth and see what you find on Sunday. Go to Walmart today and see what you find. You'll find it full. You see what I'm saying? The devil's got us busy. The devil's got us sidetracked. And the devil's fed us lie after lie after lie till we have taken that and we believe that. But what does he want us to do? We want to bring 3 points this morning real quickly. To think about this. He wants to keep us too busy, first and foremost. And we heard a little bit about this from the first message from Brother Cummins, I believe it was. But he wants us to keep us too busy to pray. Keep us too busy to seek the Lord. And we see that in Proverbs in chapter 8. If you want to go there with me, you can. In Proverbs in chapter 8 in verse 17, we find Solomon says this. He says, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." See the word seek there? You know what the devil don't want you to do? He doesn't want you to seek the Lord.
Amen.
He doesn't want a Christian to seek the Lord, and he doesn't want, surely enough, he does not want you as a lost person to seek the Lord. You say, well, can a lost person seek the Lord? Well, I believe he can. Now, whether he be found is up to the Lord. But I believe a lost person can seek the Lord. The Bible says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can you read the Bible? Yes, you can. But he surely does not want any people to seek the Lord. He does not want people to pray unto the Lord. Because I believe Brother Cummins may have made mention of this, but I believe that to pray and to seek the Lord brings a what? A closer relationship to the Lord. It is, as he said, communication. And he used this Matthew chapter 6 as well. We want to turn there ourselves this morning in Matthew chapter 6 and see, as we look at this, that he talks here about when you pray. Notice first in verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Notice verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him." Now, the reason I read that, to show you, three times the Lord says here, "When thou pray." When thou pray. When thou pray. You understand what I'm saying? It's not an option, is it? I don't believe the Lord here was saying this to be hearing Himself talk, but He says, "When thou pray." It's not an option. It is of the Lord a what? Command. Command to pray. But on top of that, we want to see that it's not only a command to pray, but it's a privilege to pray. It's a privilege to pray unto God. It's a privilege to seek God. It's a privilege of ours to go boldly, as Hebrews says, go boldly to the throne of grace. It's a wonderful privilege and honor that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ to be able to go boldly unto the throne of grace. And listen, if you cannot see it as a privilege, as an honor, if you cannot see that this morning, then as a brother said, you need to check yourself, because it is a privilege. It is a great privilege that we have. It is a great privilege to go and to communicate with the Lord. And we have a problem, and every one of us here have it. It is called flesh. Just as soon as Adam sinned, what did he do? He started running from God. Just as soon as he sinned, he started hiding himself from the presence of God. Just as soon as he sinned, he became afraid of God. And I think a lot of times our carnal nature is still that way. Sometimes we're still trying to run from God. But never be afraid, if you're a child of God, to seek God and to look for God and to find God. Because He said, "Those that seek me will find me." That's a promise. That's a promise of God. And listen, you get up early in the morning and you pray, you'll find God. You get up early in the morning. Well, we know, and I hope you don't misunderstand me. You find God any moment, any second of the day, no matter what time it is. But the proverb said, "There are those that seek me early." Early. What's the special about early? Well, you know what? When you first wake up in the morning, you're somewhat fresh. You're not. Please, if you're going to do this, don't get up first thing in the morning and turn the TV on. Get up first thing in the morning and pray. Get up first thing in the morning and seek the Lord before the world events get in your mind. Before the worries of the world push out the things of God. Put God first. And then when you seek God, those things will stay with you all day and meditate upon them all day and put them before you all day. And we find that he says it's a privilege to pray that we can seek God's will. He says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's a privilege to pray and to the Lord to lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. It is a privilege for us to pray and to lift up first and foremost God's, the Father's name. "Thy Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It's a blessing. It's a privilege this morning. And listen, don't let the devil get you so busy that you forget God. Don't let the devil get you so distracted that you forget God. And then we see something else. We believe that the devil wants us to... excuse me, let me turn my page here. I got to have a few notes so I can keep my thoughts straight. The devil keep you so busy, or the world keep you so distracted, and you're so drawn away with our own lust. Don't let that happen don't let that happen at all. But don't let the devil keep you so busy that you not study, that you don't pray, and that you don't study the Bible. We're going to go back to Proverbs 8. You don't have to turn up, but Proverbs 8:17. We just read it. He says what? "I love those that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Listen, you can only seek the Lord in prayer, but you can seek the Lord in the Word of God. As we come to the Lord and we lift Him up and we pray, and then as Christians, we have many privileges, don't we? We are honored in many ways as Christians because we not only have the ability to pray, but the Lord has given to us His Word, the Word of God, His instructions for our life, His rule for our life. He's given us blessings and just blessing upon blessing upon blessing through the Word of God to be able to read it and to be able to study it, to allow it to lead and to guide and to direct us in life. And He has preserved that for us. He has given us a earnest desire, I hope this morning, that each and every one of us can say we have an earnest desire to learn more of God. And I believe I've heard people say this, and I believe that it's true. It seems like the more that I learn, the more that I realize I don't know. Amen. The more I learn of God, the more I realize I need to know more about God. The less I know. And that's a blessing, because if the more I can see of myself as fallible, and the more I can see God infallible, the better off I am. And we see that. And so the Lord gives us His Scripture to study. And we even find that with Paul talking to Timothy. And I'm surely everybody knows this verse, but there in 2 Timothy, we find that Paul exhorts Timothy to study. Let me get there so I don't misquote it here. 2 Timothy 2 in verse 15. He tells Timothy, he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." So much time we want to be approved unto man, don't we? Amen. But he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." There's always people in this life you can say, "You know what? I'm a little better than they are." But if you look real close, there's always people in this life you can say, "They're a lot better than I am." Amen. You know what? You understand what I'm saying? But we don't judge our life. We don't judge our spirituality. We don't judge how we are with God by men. We judge how we are with God. And then when we do that, we all fall in the same boat, don't we? Amen. We're just like the handwriting on the wall. We're found wanting. We're found lacking. We're found needing more. And he says, "Study, show thyself approved unto who? Unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." There's things that we can learn in this world that'll make us ashamed. And there's probably each and every one of us here this morning that there's things in their life that they're ashamed of. But I've never been ashamed of anything that I've learned of God. It's never made me ashamed, and I've never been ashamed of it. But he says, "Rightly, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." Now, don't ever be ashamed of what you've heard and what you've read and what you've studied. Never be ashamed to relay that to somebody else. Never be ashamed to stand upon that. Though all the world go against you, stand upon the things of God. And isn't that not what Noah did? Did not all the world, the Bible tell us, except for those eight, did not all the world lie in corruption? Did not every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually? Is that what the Bible says? It is. And you know, we find Noah. What was he? Peter says a preacher of righteousness.
Right.
Don't you know that he was ridiculed? Don't you know that he was told how foolish he was? Don't you know that as he was saying, listen people, God's going to send a rain up on the earth. They were probably saying, what's a rain? And you're a fool. Because it had not rained at that time. Don't you know the same? And I equate these two together whenever we say, don't you know one of these days that the Lord is going to come? Don't you know the Lord is going to come and He's going to destroy this whole earth? And they say, who's the Lord? What's it mean when He's going to come? And you're a fool. In other words, Noah trusted in the God of things he had not seen. Hebrews says this, Noah moved with fear. He moved with fear. He knew God. He trusted God. The Bible says he walked with God. He was perfect in his generation. Noah was a just man. That's what the Bible says. He studied God. He meditated upon God. He had to. God spoke with him. Noah had not been meditating upon God. He had not heard God, would he? He had not been learning of God, studying God, trying to understand God. And that's what we need to do. When we study the Bible, we don't just need to go through there and read to be reading. We need to read and to meditate upon the Word of God. Look at the Proverbs sometimes and read through them. And I believe the more you read them and the more you study them, the more applicable you'll see them in life. You'll see them all through life. Man hasn't changed. Listen, man hasn't changed. Times have changed. Technology may have changed. The world around us may change, but man doesn't change. He's the same. So the Proverbs back in then, the Word of God, no matter how old we become, how old the world gets, the Word of God is not only applicable, but it's futuristic, isn't it? It's not only good for yesterday, it's good for today, and it will be good tomorrow. So study the Word of God. Look at it and learn of it and read of it. You say, I'm not smart enough. That's my thought. I'm not smart enough. I'm just a dumb old country boy. But you know what? If I study and I read and I got a concordance and I think, what does this word mean? I look that word up and I read and I study and apply what James, our brother James, said. He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of who? Of Spurgeon? No. Let him ask of Gill? No. Pink? I love reading by A.W. Pink. But he didn't say ask a scholar. He said, let him ask of God.
Amen.
All wisdom comes from God. Now, does Pink and Spurgeon and Gill, do they have stuff we can learn? Absolutely. But they're not God.
Amen.
They're sinners. God is perfect and He's the giver of all wisdom. So study to show thyself approved. He said all Scripture, every bit of it, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelations 22, we find that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And listen, as it's done been preached, I'm not telling you nothing that's new, nothing you ain't already heard, but all Scripture is given by God. It's not given by man. It's not man's words. If it was man's words, we would see men all through there bragging and boasting on themselves. We do not see that. We see men saying how vile I am and how great God is.
Amen.
We see the inspiration, the men moved by the Holy Spirit to write things and to record them so that you and I this day, for this moment, in this second, could have the Word of God in our lives to read and to study and to meditate upon. That why? That the Bible says they're profitable. You know what? God wants you to profit. He may not want you to have millions of dollars in the bank, but He wants you to profit spiritually.
Amen.
He wants things and He gives us things to our profit. All Scripture given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. He says it's good for doctrine. He says it is good for reproof. It's good for correction. And it's good for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So study. Don't let the devil get you so busy that you don't study. And don't adopt the lie that because you're not a preacher, you don't need to study the Bible. Don't adopt that. I forget who the brother was that said it, but he said, I believe it maybe his brother Dan. He says, you better, whatever it is you believe, you better study it out for yourself. You know what? You can hear me say it all day long. You can hear me teach on it all day long, but you need to dig in there and get it for yourself. And you know what? You may believe it now, but if you'll stay there and get it for yourself, you will not only believe it, but you'll stand on it. Amen. You know what? I was brought up for the in an independent Baptist church who taught most of the doctrines like we believe, and I could tell you what we believe, but you know what? I didn't stand on them because I didn't know. I just always been told them. And all those preachers that preached to me, and I was saved under one right now that have called me a hard shell and has called me a hard shell and will continue to call me a hard shell. I was saved under whenever he was pastor of our church. And I appreciate the messages that were brought to me. I appreciate the Lord using those messages to prick my heart and to call me into him. But you know what? It's not until I started studying the Bible for myself that I started saying, hey, here it is. It is the Word of God. Study for yourself. Pray for your pastor too. Pray for your pastor that he would bring you the Word. And I know that he does. I know that he strives to. I know that he spends much time and much labor in the Word of God to bring you the message that God lays upon his heart. And pray for him for that. But you study yourself. You study and find these. And then one last point, and we'll move on. The devil wants you so busy that you cannot seek him. He wants you so busy that you do not study him. And he wants you so busy that you will not serve him. Amen. Serve him. You know, Hebrews says this, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. Ain't nothing to me as a pastor. I'm looking at this from a pastor's point of view. And it seems like now, my memory ain't that great, but it seems like now all I can think about is from that standpoint. But ain't nothing no more discouraging to a pastor look out and see a place where somebody should be. And it's not, and we understand there is times in which people are providentially hindered. We understand that we have a member of the church been there almost as long as I remember, Sister Taylor, you know her, and she's been there. I don't think she's a charter member, but she's been there for a long time. She's a nurse home. She can't come. We understand those things, and we have other members that's truly in great deal of pain. Sister Margaret, she come over for Bible whenever they close, and she's in a great deal of pain. She can't get away from the pain. She can't even hardly walk anymore. We understand that, but then we look out and we see people who are healthy and they don't come to church. Or they come to church Sunday morning and they don't come to church. You know, there ain't nothing no more discouraging than that. And you call them and they say, hello. And they say, hey, this is Brother Page. Oh, hey, Brother Page. Oh, I just so sick. Where are they at Monday morning? Where are they at all through the week? They're able to go shopping. They're able to go do this. They're able to go do that. But mercy, that is one particular disease they got. It only strikes on Sunday morning. That is, I tell you what, that's a discouragement. And it's a lie from the devil. It's an excuse from the devil. It is what it is. But you don't ever let the devil get you so busy. Don't ever let the devil get you so distracted that you can't serve the Lord. You know, on the other hand, there's times, and we're all guilty of this, when we come to the house of the Lord, and yet we're still so distracted. We don't serve the Lord. There's times in which we come to the house of the Lord and we've had some problem that morning. We've gotten up and we've got into an argument. Or somebody's called us. Or something has happened. And we get distracted by that. And we get that on our mind. And we get worried about it. We come to the house of the Lord and we're so tired from staying up Saturday night that we can't keep our eyes open. Listen, the devil's done his job.
That's right.
You look out and you see this. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You need to start serving the Lord and getting prepared for the house of the Lord on Saturday night. And I'm not talking about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm talking about whatever bedtime is. You don't go to bed, and we don't go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning whenever we got to get up and go to work at 5 the next morning, or 6 or 8 or whatever, do we? No, we don't. We pay more credence sometimes to our jobs than we do the house of God. We don't. We go, we say, well, I got to get to work in the morning. I better go and get me some sleep so I can go and work my job. And listen, you should do that. The Bible says, servants, obey your masters as unto the Lord. But then when it comes Saturday night, say, well, it's Saturday night. It's my weekend. I can stay up all night long and drag into the house of the Lord. You can't serve the Lord like that. The devil will be pleased to keep you up all night. The Lord will never be pleased in it, though. You see, we've been tricked. We've been duped in a lot of ways. Serve the Lord. Go to church. You know, people who do not go to church and those who come to church very regularly or very irregularly, you know, they do not serve the Lord as they should. They do not serve the Lord like they should. They get the lies of the devil in their head. And you know what? For long, the devil will say, you know, it's okay. It's okay to work a shift on Sunday. It's okay to work, you know, miss Sunday night. You know, the devil never just shows up and say, hey, I'm here to deceive you. The devil never shows up and says, hey, Eve, I'm here to deceive you and Adam so that the whole human race can fall. No, he didn't do that. He said, I'm here to promote you. I'm here to help you. I'm your friend. You better be careful who your friends are. Because they'll say, I'm here to promote you. I'm here to help you. Listen to me. Listen, you need to work Sunday. You can get... Listen, some jobs I've worked before Sunday automatically pays what? Double time. Saturday pays time and a half, and then through the week, anything after 8. So you say, I've worked a union job before. I understand that. I'm anti-union, and I'm sorry if that offends anybody, but I'm anti-union. You know why? Because they support the Democrat Party. And they're devils, a lot of them. Not the people, but the society, the union. The corporation, I'm sure it started out to be a good thing, but it's went south, hasn't it? They support everything that we're against. If you don't believe that, you look into it and you dig into it. And not that if you're a Democrat tonight, not that you're evil, but listen, Democratic Party by large supports what? Abortion, homosexual rights. By large, they are, and you may disagree with me on this, but they're racist. They're racist. They can say whatever they want to about the conservatives. They can say whatever they want to, and I'm not here to defend the Republicans neither. But they can say what they want to about the Republicans and the independents and all that. But the Democrats are racist. You look in their past and see if that ain't true. So they stand against everything that we stand against. Listen, we preach this, say this, that you need to serve the Lord. And I guess I'm getting sidetracked here this morning. I need to stop because I'm done past my time, and I'm sorry. But we need to serve the Lord, and we need to serve the Lord in His church. We need to serve the Lord with our time. We need to serve the Lord with our talents. And we need to serve the Lord with our abilities. We need to serve the Lord in witnessing unto others. Now listen, the devil's got you so busy that you can't serve the Lord. He's got you so busy that you can't seek the Lord. And he's got you so busy that you don't study the Lord. You're probably not going to witness of the Lord. And so we pray that something said this morning to be a blessing and a help to you in some way. Brother Long.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.